morning that we just read a few minutes ago. Jesus was there with Peter, and he was asking him, do you love me? He said, yes, I love you. More than these? Now, different people have asked, what are the these that he's talking about? These disciples, these people, these things that you're partaking in. Most of us believe he wasn't talking about the other disciples. When he said these, he was talking about these things that are of the world. Do you love these things in the world, the nets and the fishing and all that were around him, or do you love me? And he said, I love you. He said, then feed my sheep. And he continues on. You see, Peter, within the last 30 days, had denied Jesus 3 times. I think the fact that he asked him 3 times is significant here. However, I don't think this was a reproval against Peter for denying him 3 times. I believe this was a final reminder to Peter, for this I called you. These were the last days that Jesus had resurrected, and now he's walking with his disciples for 30 days. As he did, he was preparing them for his leaving. And so this was one of the last things he said to Peter. Peter, do you love me? Well, yeah, you know that. And the last one, what did he say, Peter say the last time when he said, do you love me? He said, you know all things. Certainly you know I love you. If your mother came to you and said on Valentine's, do you love me? And you would say, yeah, Mom, yeah, I love you. And you say, take out the trash. And then your mom was to say, do you love me? Yes. Make up your bed. Okay. And then said, Mom would say, do you love me? And she said, finally say, Mom, you know we love you. Then do this or that. It would become frustrating for her to keep asking that question. This was frustrating for Peter. Peter was standing here going, wait a minute. What are you asking me? Do you know all things? Why are you asking me if I love you? And I think it's important, as we think about that, that we think about Jesus' first encounter with Peter. We're going to look in Luke chapter 5, verse 1 through 10. Now it came to pass, while the multitude pressed upon him and heard the word of God, that he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. And he saw 2 boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out from them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little bit from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes out of the boat. And when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, put out into the deep and let down your nets for a draw or a catch. And Simon answered and said, Master, we toiled all night and took nothing, but at thy word I'll let down the nets. And when he had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their nets were breaking, and they beckoned to their partners in the other boat that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. But Simon Peter, when he saw it, fell down at Jesus' feet, saying, depart from me, I am a sinful man. Jesus looked Peter looked at Jesus and said, get out of here, I'm a sinful man. Leave, go away. What a response to being blessed as he was. Oh Lord, for he was amazed at all that were with him at the catch of the fishes which they had taken, and so were also James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto them, Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. Here is where Jesus met and changed Peter. Changed him from being a fishing machine into becoming a follower of Christ and a fisher of men. Peter's reaction to this great calling? No, not me. I'm a sinful man. Get back, Jesus. You got the wrong guy. You see, Peter was no man of righteousness. As a matter of fact, if you know much about fishermen, they were the low end of the totem pole as far as righteousness is concerned. They cussed. They drank. They stayed out carousing half the night sometimes when they got through with their fishing. They were constantly working, but they were not good men. But Jesus called them and said, "Come, I will make you fishers of men." What was the response of Jesus when he said, no, I can't do this. I can't do this. What was Jesus' response? Don't be afraid. Whoa, wait a minute. Everybody think about that. Peter's talking about sin and Jesus is saying, don't be afraid. What's that got to do with anything? I'm a sinful man. You're a good man. I don't need to be with you. That's all I'm talking about here. And you're talking about fear? Where is the fear? You see, Jesus understands the real problem wasn't his sin. It was fear. Someone will say, how dare you be a follower of Christ when you have so many sins? I heard you cursing the other day and now you're following Jesus. I understand you haven't paid your taxes in years and you're following Jesus. I understand that you're a foul-mouthed, wicked man and you're following Jesus. Don't come to me and talk about Jesus. You're a wicked man. You see, that was the fear that Peter had. His sins would get out. They'd find out about it. So now we come to this last challenge that Jesus had for Peter. He has risen from the dead, been with the disciples, he's ready to ascend to the Father, and here he looks at Peter and he says, do you love me? Then feed my sheep. He asked him again the same thing and again and again. Why did he keep asking him? Because he saw fear in Peter. How many of us does Jesus see fear? How many of us here that are here today or on Zoom do you think he called to be fishers of men? How many? What percentage would you say? I think it's right at 100%. I think we're all called to be fishers of men. And if we want to prove we love him, we need to be reaching people for Jesus. Period. Exclamation point. Don't come to me, Jesus is saying, and say, I'm going to mow the yard for you, Lord. Well, is that reaching people for Jesus? Maybe you need to take that mower down to so-and-so neighbor's house, mow their lawn, and tell them Jesus loves them. You see, fear is that takes away the love of God. First, there's two parts to this call. First, the redundancy of the question is to make clear the call. And it was a call to feed my sheep. Lead them, teach them, protect them, guide them, send them, be out showing them how to witness to the world and make other disciples. But fear will ensue. Number two, love me. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18 says this. There is no fear in love. Well, wait a minute. There is no fear in love, But perfect love casteth out all fear, for fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. On this Valentine's Day, can any of you men say that you were scared to death to ask a girl out on a date until you fell in love with a girl and suddenly you became bold? That was me. You ask me how many dates I went on in high school? Maybe two. Until I fell in love my senior year with this girl, I thought I would, whenever I saw her, I couldn't catch my breath. And I decided to ask her out on a date, and guess what? She accepted, and I about dropped dead. I asked her for another date. This was right before I was graduating. I was going, I wanted to kick myself. Here I am. I could have dated this girl my whole senior year, and I'm waited till the end. Now I'm getting ready to go off to college. And by the way, she's on my Facebook. We still contact each other, you know, just. But it's amazing to me how bold you become when you're in love. The question is, hear me, question is, church, do you love me? Jesus is asking us this day, do you love me? But do you love me? But do you really love me? Are you afraid? You see, fear trumps love just like love trumps fear. If you love me, someone truly will do this. Will never be embarrassed by them. You will tell everybody about your love. You will not be ashamed to be associated with them. If you love someone, you will be willing to risk your very integrity for them. And number four, if you really love them, you are blessed to give your life for them. For when you love, truly love me, Jesus is saying, there will be nothing, no excuse that will keep you from sharing that love with those who need it. I'd like for you to listen to this story. This is a beautiful story. In closing, I believe it speaks to every one of us here about one person who shared very little, but a little enough that transforms someone's life.
Some people become funny when they drink. My dad became mean, very mean when he drank. He was just broken. He was broken and he was mean and he was not the kind of person that you would ever want to be around. He was a man that never thought of him. You know, he was a mess. The memories I have of those years are really the physical violence towards my mom.
I was afraid. I did what I was told. And that, you know, that's pretty much my life. I ended up with a concussion and in bed for 2 weeks because I couldn't see. I didn't go to the doctor, of course. I would be terrified to because that would have been it. I was afraid to tell him.
The one really vivid night that I remember when I was probably in second grade was my bedroom door was just right across the hall from my parents, and I heard my dad tell my mom to go out on the balcony and wait for him. When I opened my bedroom door to peek out, he was just across in his room loading his gun. And I was just staring at him, and he looked at me and he said, you know, just go back to bed. We need to go back to bed. And so I did. I heard, I think it was actually two or three gunshots right after that. So we went into hiding. It was for quite some time. I actually don't remember exactly how long it was.
I decided it couldn't take any longer. I just could not. And a girl that went to beauty school here, she said, Jess, let's do it. Let's get out of here. And so we snuck out one night and went over by, I think it was by Seattle somewhere.
During that time in hiding is when my dad really realized he was at the end of his rope. And
you know, rolling over to see the legacy of the, my grandchildren, you know, my great-grandchildren. I mean, that.
When my dad had accepted Jesus into his heart, he became a totally different person. People in the community would say, if Leon Colburn became a Christian, anybody could become a Christian, because that, the difference was so night and day. It was like, if you knew him before, to then seeing him now, like, it was just a radically changed life. The most radically changed life that I've ever seen.
Do you love me? Do you love me enough to where when you drive through McDonald's, you don't just say thank you, you say God loves you? Do you love me enough to where that neighbor that makes you mad, that's disgusting, that's an alcoholic, you're willing to go to him and just say God loves you? Listen, it doesn't take a whole lot. It just takes an act of love. I read this morning on a email that comes from a Christian organization, 78% of all people they interviewed over a period of several years, 10 years, said that they would go to church if anybody, somebody would just invite them. Just somebody desperate for an invitation. 78%. That's almost everybody. I want to ask you today, do you love me? Jesus is saying that to us right now. Do you love me? I want us to bow our heads and close our eyes as we pray. Father, your promise that you gave all of us was that you would make us fishers of men. It's not something we do. It's something you do. All we need to do is re-up our love for you, to realize how much you've done for us, how much you've done for mankind. And yet, by the grace of God, we might be where our neighbor is. Take us and use us. Lord, confound that fear with your love. In Jesus' name, amen. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ, we want to give you that opportunity this morning. God sent one plan and had one plan from the very beginning of time, and that plan was his son Jesus. I want to give you a chance to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior and have the blood of Jesus cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And as these roses tend to point us towards love, the blood of Jesus does the same thing. I'm going to pray this prayer with you. If you want to pray this prayer, if you've never accepted Jesus but you want to do it this morning, just bow your head. Everybody bow your head here and just pray this prayer. Lord, I give you my life. I've heard the testimony this morning, and I believe it's true. Jesus is the Lord of the world, and I give him my life right now. Make me a new person. Resurrect the person you created in me and make me new in Jesus' name. you prayed that prayer. I hope that you'll share that with, if it was a child, with our children's leaders, and if it's an adult, with me or one of the deacons.